right. Nothing like a little Vivaldi that has nothing to do at all with the concert that the Shreveport Symphony is going to be doing this weekend, other than there's a relationship to the composer. Hi, good morning to you. I'm Kermit Bowling, general manager here at Red River Radio. And joining me via Zoom is Michael Butterman, music director of the Shreveport Symphony, and the guest artist, Francisco Fujana, a wonderful violinist who last appeared with the Shreveport Symphony. I don't know, Francisco, when was that?
Just over a year ago.
November
of 2019.
That sounds right. That sounds right to me. How are you doing, by the way?
I am great. Excited to be back. It's, you know, pretty amazing and pretty rare opportunity these days to be, you know, to have the chance to play music with other musicians. It's great.
Yeah, it does still happen, evidently. And we're going to find that out this weekend in a rather novel way. Michael, why don't you set up exactly how the concert this weekend is going to work for folks?
Well, we are going to be live streaming the performance. So it will happen in real time, live at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. That's tomorrow, isn't it? Yes, tomorrow night at 7:30. And people can watch it via our website. There's a little pass code that they will need, and they can watch it happening live. However, they are also able to watch it for a period of 2 weeks on demand thereafter. So I guess they could watch it multiple times, or if it doesn't work for them to watch it at 7:30 on Saturday, they can watch it really anytime thereafter at their leisure. So it's a little bit, obviously, it's a little bit different than what we normally doing as an orchestra. We have no live audience in attendance, so the energy will be just different, I suppose, than what we're used to. But really, there are some advantages, I believe, and those include the fact that we're going to have, you know, lots and lots of cameras that are set up to get really interesting angles and views that you are not normally able to experience when you are seated in an auditorium, or in this case, First Baptist Church. And also, you know, the fact that people can, as I said, watch this on their own terms, in their homes. They don't have to worry about driving at night. They don't have to worry about if they have a conflict on Saturday evening. In fact, they don't really even have to worry about geography. I hope that folks that might not normally have wanted to drive to Shreveport, if they're a little bit more distant in the Red River Radio listening area, they might be able to join us for this, because it's just a matter of clicking on a couple of links.
Yeah, and I like the idea that the links are available for a couple of weeks, so you can listen at your leisure. Or if you enjoy it so much, you can go back, I'm assuming, and listen to it again in the future. I think the links will be active, if I remember right, till February the 13th.
Right.
So that's a very cool thing. And for those of us who have actually done a few things, like out on YouTube, Facebook, that type of thing, you put it up there and you notice as time goes on, more and more people, you know, that number of people who are affected goes up. So I think long term, there should be a lot of people that tune in for this.
Yeah, no, I really think it's, you know, and every crisis also provides opportunity. And I think that there is opportunity in this kind of adaptation for us. And we hope that it will actually allow us to, you know, sort of increase our awareness within the community and allow people to, as you said, maybe hear things a couple of times. One of the pieces that we're playing is going to be unfamiliar. Well, partially unfamiliar.
I was going to say sort
to
of.
Our listeners. Yeah. And I think they will really enjoy the opportunity to hear it more than once, frankly.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a quintessentially violinistic program, just two works, both of which feature Francisco Fujana, who I introduced at the beginning, and both in slightly different pieces, other than what you might normally expect. The Lark Ascending in an arrangement for string orchestra, which of course, you know, British composers, Vaughan Williams, and anyone who's ever heard me comment on string music and English composers like Vaughan Williams know I absolutely love it. And The Lark Ascending is such a gorgeous piece. And also everybody knows The Four Seasons, but this is The Four Seasons recomposed by Max Richter. And Francisco, why don't you talk a little bit about this? Because you've recorded very successfully The Four Seasons recomposed. Talk about the piece a little bit and how you got interested in it. And if you want to talk about your recording, that's fine too.
Yes. You know, it was almost by chance. There was an orchestra in San Antonio, the chamber orchestra, that wanted to do this piece, and, you know, had only been recorded once. And you know, you kind of I started working with Carlos Izcaray, who's the music director of Alabama Symphony. We played it, and then, you know, ended up being this huge project, you know, recording the album. So, you know, I feel free for the audience to kind of, I'll get my plug in and check it out. It's on Amazon and my website and everything else. I mean, it's a beautiful piece, and the way it's kind of built is kind of paying homage to the Vivaldi Four Seasons and using those motifs and those melodies that, you know, we are so used to, of course, hearing, and kind of giving it a new take on it, incorporating some minimalism, some really interesting rhythms. And to me, what I find the most interesting is that some movements are basically the same. I mean, some of the slow movements are almost a copy of the Vivaldi. And then yet there are other movements, especially, for example, the bookend, the very first one and the very last one, which are, you know, you can barely recognize. I mean, you'll just use, you know, he'll use the 3-note or 4-note melody or motive from the original and just build this whole other atmosphere and other sound world with it.
It's interesting to me that, you know, Max Richter, the composer or recomposer, as it were, considers himself to be a post-minimalist. And I just find it hard to believe that minimalism is past to the point that we have to have a post-minimalist title, because I just kind of went, what? That's so new. Either that or you know, I just feel like I'm getting old. But some characteristics of that minimalism, and if you're a fan of, I don't know, Philip Glass, or John Adams, or some of these composers that take rhythmic ideas in particular and repeat them in interesting ways, and the changes are subtle. What I really like about this piece is Richter does the same thing with some of the rhythmic ideas that Vivaldi created, and then kind of cuts and pastes them, so to speak, into something that really is refreshing in terms of energy.
Yeah, I mean, and the other part that's exciting to play this piece every time I play it is that because this is such a big chamber music element to it, and due to the each part is completely separate, so each of the, you know, string instruments will be playing a different part. So it is really cool how he kind of exploits having not just, you know, two violin parts, but, you know, eight or seven. And being able to layer and to really create this, you know, this sound world that is very unique yet familiar.
Well, I at least as someone who's going to be playing in the orchestra behind you, I really enjoy the opportunity to explore the piece. And Michael, actually, we had our first orchestral rehearsal last night, and you know, it's intriguing, those things that, from the orchestral standpoint, everybody knows, because everybody knows the Four Seasons. And then when they get into certain sections, how little things are kind of like, oh, you know, that's a little bit of a surprise. but it makes it really cool. I don't know if it was Francisco's idea or your idea to kind of go down this road with this concert, but I think it's a cool piece.
Well, I will say that this piece is of a piece, no pun intended, with the kind of mood that, I guess a theme that everybody is exploring right now, which is adaptation and reinvention. We are readapting the way that we present concerts. We are presenting arrangements of certain pieces. And this is an example of a work that everybody is familiar with, but the composer has sort of reinvented, I guess you would say, or the recomposer has reinvented. So it seemed a fitting work thematically to go with the sort of the moment in culture that we are all experiencing. And I, of course, enjoyed working so much with Francisco back in November of 2019, was looking for another project. I knew that he'd recorded this work. And so, you know, those threads just kind of wove together in a way that that brings him here this weekend. And we're so excited.
Well, one thing that you have done for Shreveport and the broader community is you have included a lot of newer contemporary music, and contemporary music these days seems to mean a lot different than what it was back when I was in school and stuff like that. And there was a certain, you know, everything seemed to be avant-garde and all of that. But there are so many composers now working in modes that are really extremely accessible, and that you know, I think still people tend to think, oh, well, is this like a new thing? I don't know that I really want to hear it. And yet this is an example of one of those works that is absolutely immediately accessible by anyone, has that relationship to a piece that they already know. but gives them an opportunity to explore it in a new manner.
Yeah, I totally agree. Of course, this is a work that you definitely have a frame of reference for understanding it right from the beginning. As Francisco said, certain movements are almost indistinguishable from the original, and others are, as he said, more fantasias or fantasias on one particular little rhythmic motive or melodic motive from a work. But again, that itself will be recognizable and will just sort of feel almost like a dreamlike state, but with something very, very clear and recognizable that you, can kind of hang your hat on, so to speak. So I think people will find, not that I ever tire of the Vivaldi Four Seasons, but I think people will find this a really new and refreshing, I guess, is the word to say, take on a piece that's an old friend.
Yeah, and I might add also that for people who would normally attend a concert and expect, an intermission and all of that, the whole program is actually pretty compact. It's just a little over an hour. So if you're on the live stream, I wasn't sure, Michael, if you were going to talk at all to the viewing audience.
I do plan to. We are going to have, Francisco and I are going to have a little pre-concert chat that we are going to make available for people to watch. They can really watch it on demand. They can watch it ahead of time, or they can watch it afterwards. I guess if they're watching this on demand, they could stop the concert and watch this. Anyway, so there's that. But I think I will actually do a little introduction in the flow of the concert itself. And we'll just take a moment, in between these two pieces. We'll begin with the Vaughan Williams. And we'll take just a moment to kind of, I guess, recompose ourselves, as it were, and then begin. But you're right; the whole thing will just a touch over an hour, I would guess, running time, not much more. So I think it's a it's just a very sort of easily digestible, if that's the word, experience that that people can look forward to as a real break from their routine.
And I might add, the reason for the shorter performance is related to wanting to keep the health of the musicians. And when we eventually get to having an audience, if we get to the phase where we can do that, to also protect them as well. And I think that...
Yeah, that's exactly right. We will probably not have intermissions for some time, at least the rest of the spring, when we hopefully are able to have small in-person audiences again, just to keep the potential interactions as minimal as possible. On stage, people will, when they view this video, they will see that all the string players are on their own stands. There's no stand partners. They are 6 feet apart from one another. Everybody is masked the entire time. That's actually one reason that we chose this arrangement of the Lark Ascending for string orchestra, so that we would not have the wind players there who cannot mask when they are playing, at least right now while the infection rate is still too high.
Yes. Well, Francisco, let's talk a little bit about the Lark Ascending, which I understand this is going to be your first performance of it. So I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked to hear that.
I know, me too. It's like, I think it's one of those things that, there are few pieces that kind of get through the cracks that, you never... I'll give you another example. In chamber music, for example, I didn't get to play the full Schubert cello quintet until about a year and a bit ago, which is also kind of crazy. So, it's just one of those things that just happened. And I'm very glad that Michael asked me to play it. And I've just had such a nice time exploring. I mean, there's so much freedom of color and timing in the piece that I've been, having a really nice time kind of preparing for it and exploring the edges of that.
Yeah, it's I think maybe one of the reasons why it hasn't come up, because I think a lot of times when we think of having a soloist coming in with an orchestra, we're looking for those real showy, flashy pieces. And it's not without its difficulties. And I can say that I've played it more than a few times. But, it leans towards being just an incredibly beautiful, little tone poem, really, is what it is.
We don't get to play as much, of these shorter pieces. They're of course a little bit more challenging sometimes to program, but in this case, of adding that as kind of an opener, I think it's actually a perfect choice.
Yeah, it is, and I'll add again that Even though we won't have an audience in attendance, we're doing this in the sanctuary of First Baptist Church, which, as Michael and I have mentioned on previous spotlights, the acoustics in there are just beautiful, and I think especially for this type of music.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be amazing for that. Exactly.
And if anyone recalls, was it last year? We did the Thomas Tallis in that same space.
Spring of 19, I think it was. But another Vaughan Williams work, Fantasia on the theme of Thomas Tallis, just sort of magical in that space. So I think this will be likewise.
Yeah, I have to confess that as a kid, I always used to listen to the Iona Brown recording with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, which included Lark Ascending. It also included the Fantasia on Thomas Tallis and a few other similar works, similar in not necessarily Vaughan Williams. And that album is worn out. In fact, I went to look for it the other day, and I couldn't find it because I think at some point I finally decided you couldn't really listen to it anymore. I do still listen to records, by the way. I know a lot of people are going, what's he talking about? But they're coming back. They are coming back. People appreciate the old analog sound. But I think it's a gorgeous program and a great way to show off, Francisco, your virtuosity and sensitivity as a performer. And Michael, I think it's just a cool combination of music.
Well, thank you. I do as well. I think that they are well suited to complement one another. And I think Francisco is the perfect person to bring off both of them, frankly. And that space is likewise beautifully suited. So I'm looking for, look, it was just so great to be back together last night, distanced, but together and making music. I mean, that's what so many of us, Francisco alluded to earlier, have, you know, we've found ways to obviously do things, in composite chamber settings and sometimes, you know, just on YouTube ourselves and so on. But to be able to do it in the same place at the same time, yeah. Hearing the acoustic sound rather than something through a set of headphones is a joy, of course, and I hope that will come across to the audience as well.
Well, the way to get your link to view, listen, it's however you want to describe it, to be able to participate as an audience member, you can get information, of course, from the Shreveport Symphony's website, which is shreveportsymphony.com. You can also call, I believe you can just call the tune number, 318-227-TUNE, which is 8863. And you can, it's the equivalent of buying a ticket, essentially, to get the link, right?
Essentially, yes. But, and it, of course, it's extremely easy to do online with, you know, just a couple of clicks. I would say that, you know, there is a digital packet. We have seven more of these coming up this spring. The package is available for, I think it's $125, a digital package, mm-hmm. Or you can purchase access to individual concerts for $20. That's $20, of course, per household. So however many people are watching, that's a divide that price by that. So yeah, there's another kind of opportunity. I think the cost of attending, if you will, is just considerably lower than it would be under normal circumstances. So another opportunity, I hope, for us to increase that access and that connection with our community through this concert and the others coming up.
Well, I hope everyone listening now will take advantage of this. It's an opportunity to hear, and as it will be performed tomorrow evening, if you are watching tomorrow evening, it will be live. That's when we will be at First Baptist Church performing, even though you can view it at a later date. So again, ShreveportSymphony.com or call 318-227-8863. That's TUNE if you want to just think of the tune. And the program again, of course, our guest violinist Francisco Fujana performing two violin works. We have the Vaughan Williams that we just spoke about, and the Four Seasons recomposed by Max Richter, who's a composer also very well known. He's done actually a fairly large number of film scores in his background. Yes. He's one of the big composers, whatever that means, from this time. But if you look him up, Google him, you can find out all kinds of great information. Anything you guys want to add before we go back to music here?
Francisco?
Sure. Well, I just want to insist on that idea that for us, performing together is so special, and it really, you know, feels something that we miss dearly. That, you know, it's this is not just our job, but it's really our life and part of who we are. So, you know, please, I really hope that comes through and that people, you know, appreciate that kind of that extra energy and intensity that we might have on stage tomorrow night. So,
absolutely. So, Francisco Fiena, thank you so much. Michael Butterman, music director of the Shreveport Symphony. Thank you, as always. And it's really nice to be talking about a concert as well.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Kermit, and looking forward to tomorrow night.
Me too.